Scripture passage this morning is Psalm 46. Please pray with me. Lord, in these times we are overwhelmed with information, indeed like a flood, from one extreme to the other. And Lord, we need some means of interpreting, some means of weighing and sifting. And we know that that means is your Holy Spirit speaking through the Scriptures. And so, Lord, we pray that you would so open our minds and ears and hearts that we would receive your word, that we would be stirred up from stubborn complacency and also comforted from imprudent panic. Lord, ground us by your Spirit in your word and help us to stand steadfast in that against all the winds of doctrine that are blowing so strongly at present. Bless your word to us, your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is thought that Martin Luther wrote A Mighty Fortress, which is a paraphrase of Psalm 46, during or shortly after a time when the plague hit Wittenberg. He and his wife stayed there, and they ministered to people in their home and in the homes of folks who were sick. And the Lord sustained them and protected them and blessed them in that time. And so this psalm comes to us in our circumstances that are very similar to those of Martin Luther. Psalm 46, for the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. These are difficult times, and all the simple answers, almost by virtue of their simplicity, are almost certainly false. These are difficult things. We are trying to make decisions based much on what we don't know and can't anticipate, and therefore we need to be very patient with ourselves and with each other. Your elders are doing our best to care for you. You may not agree with the steps that we've taken, but it's our responsibility to lead and your responsibility to follow. You have to make decisions for yourself, and we will respect those. And you need to make decisions for your family. You need to lead your children, and your children need to follow you. So we need to exercise great prudence and great patience and great forbearance with one another. So we encounter COVID-19, the panic of 2020. There's medical despair, financial panic, and a toilet paper fetish, apparently. This is the failure of the messianic view of civil government and the medical community that are expected to be omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Government and doctors are expected to know everything, as in the question, do you take responsibility for this panic? Government and doctors are expected to know everything, do anything, and do it everywhere at once. But citizens and patients should not expect this of government officials and doctors, and government officials and doctors shouldn't pretend that they are gods. But when you reject the living God, you are left to cry out to vain idols. There are some very basic principles that we need to remind ourselves of in these times. The first is that our God is a God who sends plagues. This isn't an accident. This is a decree from God, and by that we should be humbled. But we also should be reminded that our God is a God of healing. And on that ground, we should be hopeful. And we thirdly need to be reminded that we are the people of God who are sent to be healers. And from that, we should be reminded to be helpful. First of all, that our God is a God of plagues. We see in Ephesians 1 the basic statement that God has predestined us to salvation according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. God has foreordained whatever comes to pass. This is coming to pass. It is God's purpose. It's not that God could do something about it but doesn't want to, or that he can't do anything about it because he's impotent. God has sent this. God has ordained this. This is where it comes from. The immediate implication of this is that if God has said it, he can stop it. And if you believe that this is an accident that God has nothing to do with and God didn't send it, then it also follows that God can't do anything about it. And so the simple recognition that God has sent this gives us humility, but it also gives us hope. Psalm 135, verses 5 and 6, "For I know that the Lord is great, that our God, our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven, in earth, in the seas that seem chaotic but are not under his power, and in all deeps." COVID-19 is an act of God. He has sent it for his own purposes. Job was plagued by God. And he says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that must be our attitude to this. The Lord gives life, he takes it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives health, he takes it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has his purposes and we must honor him by confessing that he is God over this plague. Isaiah 45, verse 7. "The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity, I am the Lord who does all these." COVID-19 is an act of God, and we must be humbled under that truth. Consider Egypt's plagues, all 10 of them. God sent them. And he says in Exodus 9:14, "For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth." That's one purpose of God in sending COVID-19, that all the earth would know that there is no one like God. But the earth will deny him, and they will miss the point. But the point God is making is, I am God, and I sent this. We shouldn't be looking to government. We shouldn't be looking to physicians, at least not primarily. We should be looking to God. Government didn't send this, and government can't take it away. Doctors didn't start this,
And doctors can't take it away. No matter what the Chinese say about the United States government didn't start this virus. God did. And so we shouldn't be seeking government solutions, medical solutions merely. We should be seeking deliverance from God. Don't panic. Pray. God also promised to send plagues to his people, his own people, when they would disobey him. Leviticus 26:21. If then you will act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you 7 times according to your sins. God plagues sinners, including those among his people. Deuteronomy 28:21. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. And these plagues cling to you, and they don't let go. Verse 59, the same chapter, which are the curses that God puts at the end of Leviticus and Deuteronomy in parallel to the blessings for obedience. If you're not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. If we read the Bible, we've been warned. We've been warned that plagues would come against sin. In a world that has given itself over to incredible indulgence in sin, God gives over to incredible plagues. He is just. He makes promises and he keeps them. Promises to bless obedience and promises to plague sin. This is where it's coming from and this is why it's coming. Ezekiel 14:21. For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my 4 severe judgments against Jerusalem? And if judgment begins with the household of God, what will become of the rest of the world? Sword, famine, wild beasts, and plague. The big 3 that Jeremiah deals with are sword, famine, and plague. They're just constant in Jeremiah as God's judgment. But he throws in here also wild beast, and there's a certain logic to it. You have the sword that assaults, which results in a famine, which releases the wild beast and then brings the plague. And the plague is the last thing that finishes off the enemies of God. Even David suffered plague from God. In 2 Samuel 24, with his census, verses 13 and 14, the prophet Gad came to David and told him and said to him, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land, or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you, or shall there be 3 days of pestilence? 7 years of famine, 3 months of being hunted, or 3 days of pestilence. Consider and see what I shall answer. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. And God, verse 15, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from morning until the appointed time, and 70,000 men of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. God sent plagues against the sins of his people, against the sins of their rulers. On their account, the people were plagued, and 70,000 people died. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he still plagues sins. This is where it comes from. Jeremiah's plague in Lamentations 3:37-38. And this is his lament over the plague against Jerusalem. Sword, famine, and plague. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill come forth? Jeremiah understood that the plague against Jerusalem was from God because of sin. This is not just an Old Testament phenomenon. 1 Corinthians 11:30. Those who participate in the Lord's Supper without faith or in unrepentant sin. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. There's so many things where you think, yeah, this happens, but it's over there. Or this happens to other people, won't happen to me. It's a natural disposition. But the plague is at hand. It seems that taking the Lord's Supper in the midst of COVID-19 is a peculiarly weighty event, because a number are weak and sick and sleep. It's right at hand. It's prepared. And then in God's judgment against the churches in Revelation, first couple chapters in Revelation 2:23, these who have participated in the sins of Jezebel, idolatry and immorality. I will throw her on a great bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And then this: I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. The Lord will plague us, and he will kill our children if we do not repent from our sins. This is very serious business, and the plague of COVID-19 brings these things to mind very forcefully. Jesus also predicts the final plagues in Luke 21:11. He continued by saying to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven." COVID-19 is a reminder that the end is coming. The end for all creation, and the end for each of us. The end for some of us may be very near, and for all of us may be very near. But COVID-19, God reminds us by his plague against sin that the end is coming, and we must prepare for it by repentance and faith in Christ, and we will be saved. We may be saved from death in this plague, or we may be saved through death in this plague. But by repentance and faith in Christ, we will be saved. So the conclusion of these observations is that the wages of sin is plague. The wages of sin is death. And the plague is the plague of death. Revelation 18:4. I heard another voice from heaven, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues." The wages of sin is plague. The reason for plague is sin. And this is why it is coming on our world. And yet, even in the midst of it, there is the longing of God that we would repent and that he would deliver us from the plague. In Amos 4:10, "I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men with the sword, along with your captured horses, and I made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me." God sends the plague against sin, but part of his intention is that we would repent from the sin so that we would be delivered from the plague. Don't panic, pray. Don't panic, repent. Let this circumstance of God's discipline cause you to reflect on your life and where you see sin to repent of it and to pray for deliverance from the plague. So our God is the God of this plague, and therefore we should be humbled in repentance and prayer. But God is also, of course, the God of healing, the God of deliverance from plague, and for this reason we should be hopeful. In the midst of the plagues, the Israelites suffered some of them, but were spared from many of them, and especially the last one, where God provided a sacrifice, and the angel of death passed over. And of course, that directs us to Christ, that we would find our protection in him, and the angel of death would pass over us in this plague, but especially in the last judgment. Exodus 15:26. If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases, plagues, on you, which I have put on the Egyptian. For I, the Lord, am your healer. Hear that promise. I, the Lord, am your healer. When you are plagued for sin, turn to God, because he is your healer, and he will deliver you from the plague, from death, but especially from hell. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. The Lord will remove from you all sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases, plagues of Egypt, which you have known, but he will lay them on all who hate you. The Lord may be using this plague to remove the wicked from the face of the earth in judgment against them. But the Lord may also be using this plague to remove the righteous from the earth as a judgment against those that he leaves behind. The Lord has many purposes in his providences. The Lord also made a spectacular deliverance in the plague associated with the rebellion of Korah in Numbers 16. Verses 46 and following. Korah rebelled and God judged them by opening the earth and swallowing them up. You'll remember that. But then Korah grumbled against Moses because he thought Moses was taking this honor of the priesthood on himself, Moses and Aaron. And then when God killed Korah, rather than the people being warned against grumbling, they also grumbled against Moses. They did the same thing that Korah did. And what did they expect? A plague broke out among the people. Disease and sickness that was taking people down almost immediately. So Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put fire from the altar and lay incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation. Make atonement for them, for wrath has gone forth from the Lord and the plague has begun. Now, of course, the censer didn't make atonement. It's blood that makes atonement. But the animal is sacrificed on the altar burnt offering, and the blood is sprinkled in application of that forgiveness. And then the ashes, the burning ashes, are put in the censer and the incense is put on. So you have the sacrifice that opens the door for prayer. Prayer to be delivered from the plague. And so the censer is a picture of prayer, not making atonement, but applying atonement. And Aaron took it as Moses had spoken and ran into the midst of the assembly. He didn't run away from the plague. He ran into the plague with prayer for deliverance. For behold, the plague has begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. He took his stand between the dead and the living so that the plague was checked. But those who died from the plague were 14,700. Many will die, besides those who died on account of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the doorway of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been checked. The plague had been checked by sacrifice for sin and prayer that was made on the basis of that sacrifice, and God heard and answered and delivered from the progress of the plague. Our God sends plagues, and our God has given the means in sacrifice of deliverance from plague, and that means is Christ. There's another example of deliverance from plague with Phinehas that teaches a different lesson. This is the incident of Peor, when the people of God, before entering the land, turned aside to idols and also to gross immorality with the Midianites. And a man took a Midianite woman into his tent for the purpose of immorality, and Phinehas went in after them. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. God sent plague because of sin. Phinehas stopped the sin. And by stopping the sin, stopped the plague. This is a very forceful illustration of church discipline, that the plague is to be stopped by prayer, seeking repentance, and where there is no repentance, excommunication. If we will protect ourselves from the plague of God against us, we must exercise faithful church discipline. And it is a mark of the church and a means of grace. God also delivered in the plague with David in 2 Samuel 24. As we read, God sent the pestilence among Israel, 70,000 died. But when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel who destroyed the people, "It is enough, now relax your hand." That's what we are looking for and praying for. Lord, make this to be enough. Relax your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. What was important about that? You see, learn it later in verse 25, that it was at that place where David built an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offering and peace offerings, atonement, the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins, and by the forgiveness of sins, the relief from plague. And the Lord was moved by prayer for the land, and the plague was held back from Israel. Take that to heart. The Lord was moved by prayer for the land, and the plague was held back from Israel. The world despises thoughts and prayers. But we don't send our thoughts and prayers to the families. We send our thoughts and prayers to God. Because God can act. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, He hears us. And may He be moved by prayer for our land and our world, and the plague be held back from the United States, from Israel, from China, from South Korea, from North Korea, from Italy, and etc. Don't panic. Pray. And it is right for our officials to call us to prayer. I don't think they understand exactly what they're asking for, but they are asking for the right thing. From all that we've been considering in Hebrews, we need to understand that Jesus is our priest. Like Aaron running into the plague. Jesus is our priest, and He is our sacrifice. He is the one who has made atonement for our sins. He is the one that gives us the means to enter the very presence of God and pray for relief from the plague. There are many practical things that you need to do to protect yourselves and those whom you love, and those who are most vulnerable. The most important thing that you can do is repent, trust in Christ, and pray for God's deliverance from this plague. Don't panic. Pray. Jeremiah, in the midst of the plague against Jerusalem, says this: "Remember my affliction, my wandering, my wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. But this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord will not reject forever. If He causes grief, then He will have compassion, according to His abundant loving kindness. For He does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men." God does not delight in sending plague, but He does it to glorify His justice and to call sinners to repentance before the final plague and eternal hell. We'll be singing from a wonderful encouragement in Psalm 91. I'll just touch on a few verses. Verse 3. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the deadly pestilence. Verse 6. Of the pestilence that stalks in darkness and the destruction that lays waste at noon. Of the dangers that you can see and the dangers that you can't see, like viruses. Verse 10. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. We need to be reminded with this that this is not a cause for presumption of sin and foolishness, saying to ourselves, well, it doesn't matter if I've sinned because of this promise that God will protect me from the plague. It doesn't matter if I don't take any precautions because God has promised to protect me from the plague. That's exactly the temptation that the devil proposed to Jesus. Throw yourself from the temple because God has promised to protect you and to put his angels over you. And Jesus replied, don't test the Lord your God. You have these promises, but don't test God by turning to sin or persevering in sin. And don't test God by foolishness in failing to take measures that are prudent. The next encouragement we have is Jesus himself, of course. People came to hear what Jesus had to say, but they also came to be healed. If you're sick, go to Jesus. If you're sick, pray. Jesus healed everyone who came to him. And he will heal you perfectly and completely in the end, in the resurrection of the dead. He may have other purposes for you in the present time, but in the end, there is great healing. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, even if we die, we have a new body eternal in the heavens, and that is what we have when we come to Jesus. So as the wages of sin is plague, the wages of prayer is deliverance. The wages of repentance is deliverance. We have that example in 2 Samuel 24 of David making sacrifice and praying for deliverance and God hearing and answering him. We have some tremendous examples of this in Solomon's prayers and Jehoshaphat's imitation of them. In 2 Chronicles 6, 28, if there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, if there is blight or mildew, if there is locust or grasshopper, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague of whatever sicknesses there is, whenever prayer or supplication is made by any man, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive. All that was on the basis of the mere picture of animal sacrifices. And if God heard Solomon's prayer with animal sacrifices, how much more will he hear our prayers on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? If God hears the prayers offered in an earthly tabernacle and answers them and delivers from plague, how much more will he hear our prayers that enter into a heavenly tabernacle? Hebrews. The very famous passage in chapter 7. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves in prayer and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That very familiar promise is very precious to us in the present time. God has sent plague against our sin, but he makes this promise. If we will turn from our sin and seek his face in prayer, he will hear us and heal our land. Jehoshaphat makes the same prayer in chapter 20, verse 9. Should evil, sword, judgment, pestilence come upon us, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. We must have an even greater confidence, having been given access to the throne of grace in heaven. Paul says in Philippians 4, do not be anxious for anything, but pray for everything. And we have a negative example with King Asa when he was afflicted because of his sin. He did not seek the Lord, but sought the physicians instead. It is not an argument against doctors. It is an argument that doctors aren't gods, and they're not enough. Seek God, and in your seeking God, ask Him to bless your physicians with wisdom and effectiveness. But don't go to the doctors and forget to go to God. Go to God and ask Him to bless your physicians. God is a God of healing, and therefore we must be hopeful. But we are also made in Christ to be a people of healing, and therefore we should be helpful. We should be presenting the word for protection and deliverance. And the word of the gospel is, repent, believe in the gospel, and be saved. And that is what people most need to hear. Not so much wash your hands, which is important, but wash your souls. Wash your hands to protect yourself from the plague, but wash your souls in the blood of Christ to protect yourself from hell. This is a wonderful opportunity to preach the gospel and to roll over the issues of COVID to the issues of sin and death. And that is the message that Martin Luther was most concerned to bring as he ministered to sick and dying people, to preach the gospel to them. Repent, believe in the gospel, and you will be saved. That is why he stayed in Wittenberg. Not so much to exercise medical care as to preach the gospel to those who were in the face of death and at the doors of hell. God sends plagues because of our sin, but God delivers from plagues because of his grace. We have good news to preach in the midst of plague. But with this, we also have work to do in caring for people. Ezekiel criticizes God's people in Ezekiel 34, especially their leaders. Verse 4, he says, those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. And he says in response, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the scattered, I will bind up the broken, I will strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. We have work to do in caring for people in the midst of this plague. Matthew 25, 36, very familiar. I was naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me. And we have the duty to visit and in visitation to help those who are sick according to our gifts and calling. In our own neighborhood recently in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, we can look at chapter 13. Let the love of the brethren continue. And this love includes caring for those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are in the body. And we can certainly consider the plague as ill-treatment. We have a word to speak, and we have a work to do. So, take refuge in God. Follow the counsel of Psalm 46. And first, take refuge in God and his public worship. It may seem that we should abandon public worship and give ourselves to community service, but you can't have one without the other. We go into the worship of God in order to go out into the world. The commandments have a certain logic to them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love God, you can't love your neighbor, and you can't take care of yourself. And so worship always comes first. The first four commandments and the Ten Commandments have to do with the love of God. It's the last six that have to do with the love of man. And if we worship idols, we are doomed to immorality. If we desire to serve God and our neighbor, we must worship him first. The first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that is worship. The second is like it and is derived from the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But then also help your neighbors to take refuge in God by praying for them and serving, rendering service to them in word and work. Tell them the wages of sin is death, and the wages of sin is plague, and call them to repentance and faith. Jesus healed all who came to him. He gave the same gift to his apostles, and he gives healing gifts, extraordinary or ordinary, to his people. If you have healing gifts, use them and help those who are sick in any way that you can. But these things are a matter of gift and call. And if you are already sick, you are among the ungifted. If you don't have the gift of tongues, don't pretend that you do. And if you are already sick, don't pretend that you are gifted and called to help those who are ill. There is a limit to what any of us can do, and we need to judge before God what his gifts and calling are to us. Don't be arrogant and do what God has not called you to do. Don't be selfish and not do what God has gifted and called you to do. God is a God who sends plagues, therefore we should be humbled. God is a God who relieves from plague, therefore we should be hopeful. And God is a God who makes us to be agents of his healing, and therefore we should be helpful. God has sent a global pandemic because of humanity's universal rebellion against him. Virulent atheism, militant secularism, unlimited abortion, gross sexual immorality, and dehumanizing disingenderousness are all long overdue for the wrath of God. Statistically, there is a pandemic every 40 years or so, that is, every biblical generation. We should seek to avoid, postpone, or mitigate these things by repentance rather than invite, accelerate, and aggravate them by sin. If we will sin the sins of Sodom, we will suffer the punishments of Sodom. But God is incredibly and almost unbelievably gracious and ready to heal the very people who so richly earned his plague. We must pray with Habakkuk, "Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." We must confess our personal sins, the sins of our family, our congregation, our city, state, nation, and world. We all must repent from our sins and pursue new obedience, and we must bring the message of salvation in word and deed to everyone around us. We must increase our zeal and faithfulness in the worship of God, and from this, increase our love for our neighbor and our care for ourselves so that we would be useful. The dead cannot praise God or serve mankind. Be humbled because God is just, and we all deserve this severe discipline from him. Be hopeful because the God who has authority and power to send this plague also has the grace and goodness to protect from it and deliver out of it in answer to our humble prayers. Be helpful because Christ has given us a new and living way into the very presence of God and the mercy seat of his throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in this time of our desperate need. We must be helpful by using this precious access to God to seek in prayer his mercy for ourselves, our families, our congregation, and our neighbors to the ends of the earth. Christ has also given us the gospel that promises salvation not just from this temporary plague of the body, but from the eternal plague of hell. We must let this pandemic move us to be helpful in greater faithfulness in evangelism and discipleship. Our God has sent this plague, therefore be humbled. Our God delivers from plagues, therefore be hopeful. Our God sends us as his healers to restore the sick, and as his ambassador to offer terms of eternal peace to doomed rebels, therefore be helpful. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we adore and worship you because you have all authority and power, and nothing exists except that you have created it and sustained it. Nothing happens except that you have ordained it and bring it to pass. And therefore we confess with fear and trembling and great reverence that you are the one who has brought this plague on the world. Lord, we also confess that you are just in this, that our world, including our own nation, including even ourselves, has indulged in rebellion against you, in sin and disobedience. And this is a just judgment against the wicked and a fatherly discipline against us, your children. We confess our sins and beg that you would work repentance in us and deliver us from this plague. Please see the cross of Christ. Please hear our prayers in his name and restrain your hand and cause the plague to cease. Lord, we thank you for those who work very hard to protect the well and to heal the sick. Lord, we pray for strength and wisdom for them. Throughout the world, they are overwhelmed and they are putting themselves in great danger in sacrificial service to others. We thank you particularly for your people throughout the world who are giving of themselves to be of service to those who are ill and to protect those who are well. And we pray that we as your people would be among them according to your gifts and calling to us. Lord, we pray particularly for those who are already ill among us, that and whether it be with particular sickness or with the infirmities of age, that you would protect them and that you would help us to do what we can to protect them. And Lord, for those among us who are strong and young and well, that you would give many opportunities to be serviceable in relieving the sickness of those who suffer around us. Lord, please give great wisdom to those who must make decisions with limited information. Please be with those who are panicking that they may find rest in you. And please be with those who are foolish that their eyes may be opened to the reality of these dangers. Lord, have mercy on us. You are just, but you are also merciful. And therefore we pray that in wrath, please remember mercy, restrain the plague, and bring it to an end soon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.